Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tmura Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 18 lines from the top of Daf Chof Gimel. A little less than halfway down, you'll notice the first word on the line is Gufa. Gufa represents a quote of something that had been mentioned earlier, and now the Gemara is going to look into it directly. The markings that we have are actually a continuation of the shapes that we were using till now. We have two deos quoting Rav, namely Rav Huna and Rebbe Abba. The Rav Huna and Rebbe Abba appear in a trapezoid volcano shape, and we are in the general topic, and we're continuing in the topic of the chatos hamesos, the cases whereby a person who set aside a korban chatos, or some variation on the theme of korban chatos, that it is not used as a sacrifice, but rather set aside to die. We had learned a machlokes tanoim on this topic, concerning a chatos that had been set aside and got lost. Someone then set aside a replacement one, and eventually, and I emphasize the word eventually found the lost one. What does one do? Now, the term eventually could be a short-term loss, namely, it is lost and then found before the owner receives his atonement through the replacement one, or the owner finds the lost one only after he received atonement through the replacement one. Concerning that, we saw a under what circumstances does the unused korban chatos get the sentence of being set aside to die, as opposed to being set out to graze till it develops a blemish, at which point you would then be able to sell it or redeem it and use the money for the purchase of nedavos. Let us now turn to our Gemara. Gufa, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. Hakol Moidim, namely Rebbe and the Chachamim will agree, Shemoshach Achas Vekriva. In the event that a korban chatos had been lost and the owner set aside a replacement animal, and then the original one was found, and on his own he chose one of those animals to serve as his korban chatos, everyone agrees shehashniya mesa, that the second one, the one that he doesn't use, will be set aside to die, as opposed to graze till developing a blemish. Loi nechleku elo, this is Rav Huna's point, that the only time there is a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim is bebo limlach, where the owner comes to consult with the court what to do in the event we just described, that he had lost one, set aside a replacement one, found the original. The Rebbe sovar, lo Osu Takona Bekotchim. The rabbis didn't make any special provision in the realm of Kotchim, in the realm of sacrifices, to preserve whatever can be preserved. The Amrinon, and we tell the owner, Lechiskaper B'she'enu Avuda, go use the animal that was not lost, namely the replacement animal that never underwent any negativity. I.e., by having been lost, it would be considered a negative feature or a reusa. Go ahead and use the replacement one, the avuda mesa, and the one that was lost anyway, so to speak, it shall be set aside to die. Rabbonon Savri, the opponents of Rebbe, hold according to Rav Huna. Asu takana bekotchim, the rabbis made special rulings and care, rulings of care for the sake of preservation of sacrifices, and in that spirit, the amrinon, and we tell the owner, lech hiskaper bavuda, use the animal that was lost for your atonement, v'she'eno avuda tira, and the one that was not lost, that had no negative side to it, so let it be set aside to graze and till it gets a mum, and then you'll be able to preserve it, so to speak, through its value. The money that you fetch will be then used to purchase sacrifices. Let us glance at the Rashi, at the lower part of the page. You'll see in the wide lines, the lo asu takono bikotchim, the lo ichbaslon I maiso shnia. It doesn't of no concern to us if the second one dies. We tell him zil ichbar b'shein avuda. Go use the for your atonement, the one that was not lost, and the one that was lost, which anyway has a problem, will be set aside to die. V'rabbonan savri v'hochi mashemas nisin. And thusly is to be understood the Mishnah. Achas mehem tikrav. One of them will be offered. Kedei shetomus ashniya. In order for the second one, the second chatos, to die. Shetikrav she'eino avuda. Offer the one that was not lost, namely the replacement one. Avuda tomus divrei rebbe. And the one that was lost will be set aside to die. V'chachomim oimrim. Ein chatos mesa. The comment of the Chachomim that said, Ein chatos mesa, ki hai gavna. The chatos will not die if you do the following. Bebol limlach. First of all, we're dealing with someone that comes to consult. The amrinon le. We tell him, the owner, hiskaper bavuda. Elo hahi denimtses. Leachar shekipru abaylim. Hahi vadai mesa. When he comes to ask us what to do, we tell him, use the avuda for your atonement. However, in a case where an animal was found after the owner already achieved his atonement through the replacement animal, that case, vadai meso deleko takanto behamlocha. There is no solution in that through consultation in that case where it was found after the owner achieved his atonement. Fua dinami im nitzes koidem, and likewise there is no solution if the animal that was lost was found before atonement, however, velo nimlach, where there was no consultation. That's what Rav Huna Omarav said in his Hakol Moedim comment. We go back to the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia raises an objection to Rav Huna. The loy osu takona bekochim. Is it so that the Chomim did not make special rulings of care, of preservation in the realm of Kochim? Now, this question is focused on what Rav Huna Marav said within Rebbe, that Rebbe is of the opinion that they did not make a takona b'kotchim. Before going further, we should just note that we have this house form, which represents questions. Eventually, throughout the sugya, there'll be questions on Rav Huna, and later we'll see Rabbi Abba's opinion presented, and Rabbi Abba, we had learned in our last shiur also, his opinion will be presented, and a question will be raised against him, and on Amud Beis, there will be questions raised against both Rav Huna and Rabbi Abba. So, in the meantime, we're raising a question on Rav Huna's presentation, who claimed that a Lafi Rebbe, according to Rebbe, there is no Takona Bekotchim, V'ha Tanya. We have the following Tanaic source. The source is dealing with a new topic, the topic of a meal offering, specifically the part of the meal offering that the Kohanim would eat, which is called the Shiore Mincha. After the handful of a mincha offering, of a meal offering, is placed on the altar and burnt, the balance, which is the majority, is eaten by the Kohanim. So the pasuk there says yochlu ma tamud lomar. What do I learn from that word? Melamed shim hoisa achilu muetes. If there is little by way of meal offering for the assembled kohanim, oichani mo chulinu truma. They will, prior to their eating of the mincha, of the meal offering, they'll eat common food or truma, which is a tithe that the kohanim are entitled to. And why do they fill up, so to speak, on that? So that they, when they come to eating the actual sacrifice, the meal offering, they'll eat that in a non-ravenous state, which is considered an honor to a to sacrificial meat or sacrificial offerings, in this case a meal offering, not to eat it in a state of ravenous, in a ravenous state. Yochluha, the pasuk says that word. Ma tamalomar, what do we learn from this? And you'll notice we've double underlined with dots in it these expressions. Ma tamalomar, to focus on the specific teaching. So what do we learn from this? Shim hoisa achila meruba, if there was a lot of meal offering for the Kohanim that are assembled, could be where you have a situation of very few Kohanim, and relatively speaking, each Kohen would get a large portion of the meal offering. Ein oichen imo chulin utruma, they would not eat anything else with it. Kedei shelo tehei necheles al hagasa, so that they are not eating it, they wouldn't be eating it, the meal offering that they do receive, in a state of over satisfaction. Where a person feels, has this feeling of being stuffed as a result of having eaten so much, that's called achila gasa. So that if you have a lot of meal offering to eat, we want you to concentrate or invest your efforts in of eating on that and not fill up on other things. Now, this idea here is, what we see up here is that there is a concern, which we can call osu takona, that sacrificial substances, in this case the meal offering, shouldn't come to being left over. In other words, we're trying to direct the individual here. If you have a lot of meal offering, don't eat other things, and then you'll end up leaving over the meal offering itself. My lav, afilu Rebbe, is it not so that this source is taught even according to Rebbe? And it says here not to eat chulin with it, so that you don't come to a situation where you'll end up leaving over the meal offering. So we see that even according to Rebbe, that osu takona bekotchim. Unlike the way Rav Huna Amar Rav presented Shitas Rebbe. The Gemara says, Loi Rabbonan. This source is not taught according to Rebbe. It's taught only according to the Rabbonan. For Rabbi Abba Omar Rav, Hakomodim. Now we have Rabbi Abba's version of Rav, who interprets the Machlokes, Rebbe and the Chachomim. He will tell you that Hakomodim, Rebbe and the Chachomim will agree, B'miskapir, B'she'eno Avuda, where a person uses the replacement chatos, she'avuda mesa, that the animal that had been lost will be set aside to die. And now, according to Rabbi Abba's approach, there is no emphasis placed on having consulted or not having consulted. It all depends on which animal you chose. Ama nechliku. What is the point of controversy? De miskapir bavuda. In the event or the case that he chose the lost animal for his atonement, the Rebbe Sovar, Rebbe holds the way we look at the replacement animal is as follows: Mafrish Liibud, the one that you had set aside for the lost animal in replacement of the lost animal, Kiibudami, it's as if it itself was lost. And we just got finished saying that if you chose the non-lost animal, everyone would agree the lost one is to die. So even in this case where you used the lost animal, the replacement animal has the same din, is considered as if it had been a lost animal, and therefore shall die. V'rabbanan savri lav ki ibud domi. That one who sets aside mafrish li'ibud is not considered as if it itself is a lost animal. And therefore, if you chose the actual lost animal for your atonement, and the replacement one survives or remains, that will not die, according to the Rabbanan. And this is all according to Rabbi Abba's version of Rav, in interpreting the deos of Rabbi and the Rabbanan. Tanan, we raise a kasha, very shortly, on this approach. And you'll see the same style as we had before. We didn't mention before, but the bow tie is the sign we've used here to show the focus of the question. Like in the case of the Rav Mishashi's question, we said my lav afilu Rebbe, that even Rebbe, and we emphasized the my lav expression to show that we were questioning Rav Huna Omar Rav's version of Rebbe. Here we will be questioning Rabbi Abba Omar Rav's version of the Rabbanan. And you can see that at the top of Amud Beis, where the Ma'alav is emphasized with this bow tie form. So that it's important to have clear what Rabbi Abba's Omar Rav's version of the Rabbanan was, and namely, that Mafrish Le'ibud, according to Rabbi Abba Omar Rav, Lefi the Rabbanan, is Lav Ki Ibudomi. It's not as if it is a lost animal itself. So now, we quote from the source that we've referenced earlier. We've referenced this in Daf Chof Beis. The goats of Yom Kippur. There were two goats that were set aside on Yom Kippur, and whose identity was determined by the drawing of gerolos, which are translated as drawing of lots. One was a goat that was sent out to a cliff to die, as a form of atonement for the sins of Israel, and the other one was slaughtered as a korban chatos, and its blood was applied in the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash. And these two, this took place on Yom Kippur. There is an expectation that the animal that is set aside as a soyer Lashem, it's alive at the point that the animal sent out to the cliff is actually sent out. And likewise, and we therefore say that if one of them dies prematurely, you have the Sawyer Lazozel or the Sawyer Lashem, if one of those two dies prematurely, earlier than it's supposed to, then earlier than it is actually used, then we have to get a replacement for the one that died, and that is done by bringing two more goats. According to this approach that we're going to feature here, you bring two more goats and lots are drawn. So, and one of them will serve as the replacement, and then there is the other one that you don't need, because you have the original survivor of the first pair. So this source reads Tanan, Hasheni, the second one, of those two goats, the one that you simply don't need, Yire Achistoi Vimocher, it shall be set out to graze until it develops a blemish, and then it's sold, Vibludomov Linadova, and then its money is used for purchasing voluntary offerings, Shein Chatos Tzibur Mesa, because a public Korban Chatos does not die. In other words, the dinim, the halachas, the laws that we've learned about Chatos HaMesas applies only to private sin offerings, not public ones. And here you're dealing with the goat offering of Yom Kippur, which is an issue of a public sin offering. Now, we infer Ha Diyachid Mesa, but the equivalent case on a private level would die. The Omar Rav Balei Chayim Eino Nidchin, and Rav is of the opinion that animals that are alive are not rejected from their sacrificial status. And Kishu Miskaper, which one of the Sawyer Lashems does he use? The case we had featured was that the Sawyer Lazozel, send away goat drop dead early, so you needed to get a replacement for the Sawyer Lazazel, and that was accomplished by drawing lots on two more goats, thereby determining which one would be the new Sawyer Lazazel. But at the same time, you have two Sawyer Lashems now, two sacrifice goat offerings. Which one do you use? So Rav says, well, animals that are alive are not rejected. So the original Sawyer Lashem is not pushed away. You're going to use that. And that's what he says here, Kishum Iskapir, when he chooses a Sawyer Lashem, B'sheni Shebezug Rishon Miskaper, he will choose the second one of the first pair, namely the original Sawyer Lashem. The Idoch Basra, the second one that was brought together in the drawing of the lots to determine the replacement Lazazel, that was brought to replace a lost situation. So the Idoch Basra means the second one, Havelei Kemafrish Leibud. It was set aside for, it was like a case of setting aside something for something that was lost. In other words, we had in the first set, one of them died, so I had to get a replacement for, we can call it replacement for a loss. So bringing in these two new goats to determine which one would be my replacement one was like setting aside an animal for something that had been lost. And we say here, the time of the tzibur, the reason that it doesn't die is because you're dealing with a public sin offering situation. Ha di yachid, had it been a private sin offering situation whereby someone had set aside a sin offering, chatas, and it got lost, and then he brought a replacement one, then mesa, then the one that you do not use shall be set aside to die. All of this is based on an inference from the Yom Kippur story, that only because you have a public situation of mafrish li'ibud that it doesn't die, but on a private level, had you have a mafrish li'ibud situation, it would die. Namely, even if you were to, if when you find the lost one and you happen to choose the original one that had been lost to serve as your atonement, the other one that had never been lost, you brought it as a replacement, is nevertheless considered as if it too had been lost, and therefore it would die. And the Gemara at the top of Chof Gimel Amid Bey says, "My lava filu rabbonon," that even the rabbonon would agree with this approach. That would be a problem for Rabbi Abba's version of Rav, because Rabbi Abba's version of Rav had him saying that Lefi the Rabbonon, according to the opinion of the Rabbonon, that which you set aside to replace something that was lost is not considered as if it itself is something that had been lost. And here we see to the contrary. The Gemara rejects this question and says, Loi, Rebbe he. The Yom Kippur source with its inference is according to Rebbe, not according to the Rabbonon. Tanan. We have now a new question, and you're going to see in a few lines, you can, by spotting the dashed underline, a few lines down, you see Tufta L'Travayu. This question will be focused against Rav Huna and Rebbe Abba, both of them. So we have a quote from the Mishnah on Chof Beis Amid Beis. There's a little one that appears above the first word of this quote, last word on the line. That is a reference to the numbering that we had in the Mishnah Chof Beis Amid Beis, where there were a lot of cases of Chatas Hameses. We're going to be focusing here on the first case. Tanan, Hamafrish Chatos V'Ovda, a person who had set aside a sin offering and it got lost, V'Hikriv Acheres Tachteha, and he offered a replacement one, and after it, the replacement was slaughtered and offered, he found the first one. What do you do? Tomus. The Mishnah says, the one that you now found is to die. Taimo de Krevo. Well, we can infer from this the only reason that the original one is going to be set aside to die is because the owner achieved his atonement through the offering, through the actual offering of the replacement one. Holo hikriva, had he not offered the replacement one yet, but rather both were standing there and he chose one, then tir'eh, then the one that he doesn't choose is set aside to graze. So we see that in the event that the owner did not achieve atonement yet, and he has both chatos standing in front of him, and he chooses one, the other one grazes. Lo yishno miskaber b'avura, v'lo yishno miskaber b'shein avura. No difference is made whether he were to have chosen the lost one, the original one, or he chose for his atonement the one that was never lost. And that shows, unlike Rabbi Abba's approach, who made a distinction between who said that mafresh li'ibud is considered avud. We're not making any distinctions. Lo shno moshach, velo shno lo moshach, and we're not making any distinctions whether he acted on his own. Moshach means he drew one on his own without consulting, or he actually consulted. Tufta the Travayu. This is our Mishnah with its with the inference is a kasha on both Rav Huna and Rabbi Abba. In other words, the Mishnah is saying something across the boards without making any distinctions, unlike the approach of Rav Huna and Rabbi Abba. The Gemara answers Milsa de Psiko Le Kotani. Milsa de Lo Psiko Le Lo Kotani. The Mishnah is telling you something that is definitive and final. In other words, it's telling me we can call it a simple point of law, but it's not being taught with an intent to learn some type of inference from it and thereby create a new approach. The Mishnah is to be taken at face value, namely that in a case where a person had lost a chatos and brought a replacement and used the replacement without, then the found one, the original one, will die without any qualifications. And that's what the goal of the mission was, to teach us something that is simple and streamlined and not the mission. There's no intention in what the Mishnah teaches to leave room for the inference. We look at Rashi, and he explains this quite thoroughly. Rashi, starting from the fourth line from the top, Milsa de Psikole Kotani Klomar, Lo Tema, don't say the inference, namely, Ha, Lo, Hikriv, Roya, if he had not achieved atonement with the replacement one, then there will be grazing in the case that that both were standing in front of you. That even in that case where you found the original one before atonement through the replacement one, sometimes there will be grazing and sometimes there will be death. Kagon l'Rav Huna, notice with our markings in the triangles we've emphasized Rav Huna's method of distinction and Rabbi Abba's also with a triangle. And their methods are emphasized here with different geometric shapes. With regard to Rav Huna, Moshach v'shuv hikriv afilu avuda, if you chose on your own without consulting and you offered even the lost one, Shein Avuda Mesa, the one that was never lost, because you didn't consult with the court, even though this one had not had any reusa, any negative feature to it, it was never lost, nevertheless it will die. Bo Limlach, if you came to consult with us, and we told you, use the lost one, then the Eino Avuda will be set out to graze. So that you see from here that in the case of we say lo hikriva, it depends, and that's what we call a milsa de lo psika. The fact that it depends on something, it's not definitive. It's dependent upon something. Rabbi Abba, and likewise with regard to Rabbi Abba, bein moshach bein nimlach im niskaper b'she'en avuda, whether you consulted or didn't. See, Rabbi Abba doesn't make a distinction about consultation. That was Rav Huna's point. Rabbi Abba doesn't pay attention to that. Whether you acted on your own or you consulted, it depends on which one you chose. And here you have the house marking to help you see the two cases of Rabbi Abba. Im niskaper b'she'en avuda, if you used the non-lost one, the replacement one, avuda mesa. V'im be'avuda niskaper, and if you chose the lost one, then zu roe, the one that was not lost, will be set out to graze. V'hai dikotoni hikriv koidem mitzias arishona, the Mishnah that taught that the owner had offered the replacement one before finding the first one, mishum dahop siko le demesa, because in that case it's clear that the original one will die. That's because you found it after the owner already received his actual atonement. The ein chiluk b'davar, and in that case there's no distinction made whatsoever. No distinction between consulting, not consulting, and obviously you used the. It's clear which one you used there. Mishum hachi lo tana nimtzeis kodim kapora mesa, and therefore the Mishnah, in its interest to tell me something definitive, it didn't teach the case of something found before owner receiving atonement. Then there is death. The lukma the Rav Huna b'dolo nimlach, and then say, well, that's a case where lefi Rav Huna he didn't consult, therefore. It is to die. Rabbi Abba beniskaper b'shein avuda, and according to Rabbi Abba, it would be a case where he chose to achieve his atonement through a replacement one. Mishum dehecha denimtzeis kodim kapora, because that case of being found before owner receives atonement, milsa delo psika. It's something that's not definitive. The boy l'shavu chiluk a zu roe the a zo mesa. There we have to determine which one is to die and which one is to be set out to graze. And that depends on the different circumstances that we mentioned earlier. Continuing in the Gemara, we go to our next house marking at the beginning of the line, Tanan. This is a quote, once again, from the Mishnah on Chof Beis Amid Beis. The focus of this, again, will be to raise a question based on an inference. And the question will be based on, will be focused against both Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna. This we can see very quickly simply by scanning down the page, and you notice the dashed underlining where you see the tufta to the travayu emphasized again. Tanan hamafrish. This, by the way, is case 3 in the Mishnah. Hamafrish mois lechatos. A person set aside cash for the purchase of a sin offering. The avdu, and the money got lost. The hifrish achirim tachtem, he set aside a replacement sum of cash. The achakach nimsu hamois, and then he found the original money. So he has now two pouches of money in front of him. The Mishnah says, Yovi me'elu me'elu chatos, he should combine the funds to buy a korban chatos, to buy a sin offering, vashar, and whatever change is left over, yiplu l'nidava. It will be used for the purchase of a voluntary offering. Taimo demiskaper me'elu me'elu. Why is it that the balance of the money, the cash, the change, is used for a purchase of, for a voluntary offering? That's because he chose to use both pouches of money, the lost money that was found and the replacement money. Ha mechad, had he chosen just one pouch, yolicham liyam hamelach, the other one, the one that he didn't choose, will be sent to the Sea of Salt, meaning to the Dead Sea, where that's the destruction of money. That's the equivalent of mesa when you're dealing with cash. And this inference here, we said ha mechad, that's the we'll call it the word of inference, which you can see that we've circled this word ha before, and here to focus on this as the point of inference. This leads us to conclude that if you chose only one pile, the other one is to die, meaning to be sent for its destruction. Lo shna miskaper bavuda, velo shna miskaper b'shein avuda. No distinction made whether you chose to buy for your atonement the money that was originally set aside and lost, nor whether you chose the replacement money. Velo shna moshach, velo shna lo moshach. Also, no distinction made whether you chose something on your own or you lo moshach, you didn't grab it on your own but consulted. In other words, the idea of something going off to die simply doesn't make a difference which one you used or how you came to the conclusion. Tiyufta de Travayu, that is a challenge to both Rabbi Rav Huna and Rabbi Abba, because according to them, the decision for something to be set to go off to die was dependent on these factors. The Gemara answers, don't learn section 3 of the Mishnah with this diuk, with this inference, namely the point that we had circled in reading the Gemara words in ha mechad. Don't learn that. Rather, learn the Mishnah at face value. Hachanami, here too, milsa de psiko le kotoni. The Mishnah tells us something that is definitive, namely that when you choose both pouches and buy your sacrifice from that, there is nothing that's sent out to its death, in quotation marks, to the Yam HaMelach. That's definitive. Again, when you use both pouches for the purchase of the chatos, there is nothing sent to the Yam HaMelach. Umilsa de lo psikole, lo kotani. However, something that's dependent on factors, the Mishnah didn't teach that. That would have been the case had you chosen just one pouch. Then we would start analyzing. Well, according to Rav Huna, it would depend on did you consult or not consult. According to Rabbi Abba, it would depend on did you use the lost money or the replacement money. The Mishnah didn't want to get involved with that level of analysis or detail, and hence it didn't teach it and didn't even allude to it through an inference. You can see we have a slash in the Gemara text. This indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the outside margin, we have a nosei mivneh, namely a nosei is the topic heading and mivneh the structural note that we combine into one note, and we feature the crown shape, hafroshas shnayim, where you set aside two things, echod lachrayas, and the second item is set aside as a guarantee or a backup if anything should happen to the first thing that you set aside. What are we setting aside? So Rav Ami, who's the first crown shape, he will feature someone setting aside two piles of cash in anticipation of using only one of them for the purchase of your sin offering, and the what then is the halacha with regard to the second one that you don't use? And Rav Hoshaya on Daf Chof Dalid Omen Aleph, he will talk about the setting aside of two animals to serve as a sin offering. One, the actual offering, and the other one is there as a backup if anything should happen to the one that you intended to use, so there's a backup, a second one, a replacement one. So the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Ami, Hamafrish Shnei Tzibure Mois Lachrayas. Person set aside two piles. Tzibur is a pile of money, one serving as a backup for the other. Mistaper Be'echod Mehem Ushnei Yiplu L'Nadava. He chooses one, and the other one will then be used for the purchase of voluntary offerings. That's Rabbi Ami's teaching. At this point, we have triangles, and you can see quite a few of them. They're featured on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangles are shlavim, or stages, levarer, to clarify Aliba Deman Omar Rabbi Ami as Dvarv. According to whom, which Tanaic opinion was Rabbi Ami basing his remarks on? The Gemara Aliba Veman, and we also have a long question marking, the kuf that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and subsequent descending vertical line indicates all of these lines are a lead-up to the answer. The question, though, is contained in these lines. So, according to whom did Rabbi Ami say his point? Ilemo Aliba de Rebbe... Pshita diyiplulinadava. It's obvious. I wouldn't need Rabbi Ami to tell me within Rebbe that the other pile is used for nedava. In other words, used. It's actually used and not thrown away or disposed of. Ad kan lo koma Rebbe elo b'mafrish liibud. Rebbe said his point of mesa or yolich liyam hamelach. Only in a case where you set aside a replacement for something that had been lost. Avol achrayis moide, but where the initial setting aside was not for something that was lost, but simply to serve as a backup for something that's still something else that is right there, that he would be moide that it's linedava. The Elo Aliba de Rabbanan. Do you think that Rabbi Ami's comment was a chidush within the Rabbanan? Pshita de Yiplu Linadova. It's obvious that it would go Linadova, Kal Vachomer. Because according to the Chachamim, you could come to that conclusion on a Kal Vachomer. Ashto Mafresh Libud Omer Rabbanan, Lav Ki Ibudami. Mind you, according to Rabbanan, where you set aside something as a replacement for something that was lost. It's not it itself, the replacement is not considered something lost. Lachrayas mibaya, where you're setting aside a second amount for something that wasn't lost at all, just simply to serve as a backup for the other item that's present, that's obvious that it would go linadova, not be thrown away. So, according to whom is Rabbi Ami? What's Rabbi Ami trying to accomplish? What is he trying to say that I couldn't have thought of on my own? The Elo Aliba de Rabbi Shimon it's the Richole. I need Rabbi Ami, who speaks about the setting aside of two piles of cash in light of the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was featured earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Tes Vav, where he speaks about five chatos hamesas, five animals, five cases that are related to a sin offering involving animals that each one of them dies. The Gemara continues, Ma'u detemo leslei the Reb Shimon nedova. If I had known the original Rabbi Shimon teaching about the five chatos hamesos, I wouldn't have known about something going for the purchase of voluntary offerings, because in the realm of behemos, of animals, he doesn't have any concept of nedova. Komash Molon di Islay Nedova. Rabbi Ami reveals to us that Rabbi Shimon does have a concept of Nedova, and that is so when it comes to the setting aside of money and not animals. If we look at the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines, Mal Detemo Leslay the Rabbi Shimon Nedova Gabi Chatos. In this whole realm of sin offerings, maybe Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from the concept of Nedova. Techiechi de Leslay Gabi Behemos, just like in the realm of animals, he doesn't present any cases of Nedova, in the realm of the animals, namely the sin offering situations. He doesn't have Nedova Leslay Nami Gabi Mos. I might have thought that regarding the setting aside of cash for the purchase of sin offerings, also he doesn't have this concept of nedava, where the balance, that which was unused, can be used for voluntary offerings. Komash Malon, then in fact he does have a concept of nedava, but that's only in the realm of cash. The Gemara continues. The Gemara has a question here. This question lasts a number of lines. You can see we have a long question marking, and this appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line, and it takes you till the bottom line of the Gemara. Umi motzis amris de les lei nedava le Rabbi Shimon. Was there even a havamina that is that which justified having Rabbi Ami teaching me what he taught me? Because I would have thought that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from Nedava. Could you even have thought that? When you have a Tanaic source featuring Rebbe Shimon holding from the concept of Nedava. So to suggest that I need Rebbe Ami to dispel something I would have thought, we're now going to come and tell you you never would have thought that in the first place. So let us see the source, in which you can see there's marking just by taking an overview of the source. You'll see we've emphasized with a diagonal dashed underlining the word Nedava and the name Rebbe Shimon. So we're making an association between Rebbe Shimon and Nedava. So you see there that he holds from this concept of Nedava. And when you skip the framed section, you can see right afterwards the second line from the bottom of the Gemara tells you Amo Yislei Nedava the Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon does have a concept of monies being used for the purchase of voluntary offerings. You know, when we say monies, we're talking about balance or change or extra monies that are directed to the purchase of nedavas. So and at the end of the day, the question will then come back, what do I really need Rebbe Ami for? Let us now learn the source. After reading the question of Umi Motzitz Amis Lesle Nedava, could you really have even thought that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from the Nedava that I need Rabbi Ami? Vah Tanya, we have the following. Vah Tnan, we have the following Mishnah. Shloisha Asar Shofar Soy B'Mikdash. The word shofar refers to a container of money, a cash container. So with 13 shofros that were filled up with cash in the Beis HaMikdash, Hoyu BaMikdash, Kosev Alein, there were words written on them, Tiklin Chadatin V'Atikin. Tiklin is a reference to Shekel, a type of coin, the new ones and the old ones, Kinin V'Goizle Oila, these are bird offerings, monies used for the purchase of bird offerings, Eitzim Ulavona Vizov Lekapores, monies used for the purchase of wood for the spice, the incense, the Lavona, and the Zov Lekapores, monies used for the purchase of service vessels. Veshisha Linadova, there were 6 additional shofros for the purchase of voluntary offerings. So that would give you a total of 13. The Toni Allah, Shisha Linadava, the 6 shofros that were used for the purchase of cash used for voluntary offerings, that what was that? The Le'oilo Habo Min HaMosoros, for the purchase of Ola offerings that come from leftover monies. When do you have that? If a person had, let us say, set aside a korban chatas or an osham, and he set aside money for that, and he didn't need all of the money, or other cases where you didn't use an original sacrifice and you used a replacement one, so the original sacrifice would have been sent out to graze till it gets a moon, and that you would redeem it. So those monies were used for the purchase of nedavas, which were ola offerings that came from those extra or leftover funds. She'ein oira l'kohanim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The skins of these ola offerings would not be given directly to the kohanim, as opposed to private ola offerings. When a person brings an ola offering based on an initial dedication of an ola, there the meat of the animal is burnt and the skins are given to the kohanim. Here we're dealing with ola offerings that weren't dedicated initially as an ola, but rather they're purchased from residual funds. Omar lo Rabbi Nechemyo v'Amri lo Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi, and we're focusing right now on Rabbi Shimon. He turns to Rabbi Yehuda and says, "Im Kain, if you're going to distribute if you're not going to distribute the ore to the Kohanim, but rather you, Rabbi Yehuda says, to then redeem the skins and buy more sacrifices." Im Kain, Botlo Midrasha Sheyehoyodo Hakohen. You'll thereby be voiding or invalidating the teaching of Yehoyada HaKohen, the Sanya, Zeh Midrasho Dorash Ze Medrash Dorash Yehoyada HaKohen. The following is the drasha that Yehoyada HaKohen expounded upon the pasuk, where it says, Osham Hu Kulo Lahavi, or Osham Hu Lahavi Kol Dover Habo Mimosar Chatos Vashamos. This comes to teach me about those things that are brought from the balance of money set aside for the purchase of chatos and hashamos. What do you do with them? Likach bedom of olos. You buy with the money a korban ola. Habosur l'Hashem ve'oros l'koyhanim. We've used a dot underline to show the main point of this drasha of Yehoyada HaKohen, who says that the skins do go to the kohanim, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda's approach that said, where you also noticed a dot underlined before, She'ein oiro l'kehanim. For our purposes, it's important not to get involved in too many details, but rather to show Alma Islay Nedava l'Rabbi Shimon. You see that Rabbi Shimon has a concept of leftover funds being directed to Nedavas. So what do I need Rabbi Ami for, who we saw at the middle of the page where you have that crown marking, where I need to be taught that the monies that you don't use go l'nedava, and we said above on the third triangle that we need Rabbi Ami for the purpose of Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that I would have thought that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from nedava. Here we have a Tanaic source showing that Rabbi Shimon does hold from nedava. So how would you, why do I need Rabbi Ami to dispel something I never would have thought in the first place? The Gemara says, I need Rabbi Ami. Salka daita chanina, ki is le nedava l'Rabbi Shimon. Under what circumstances does Rabbi Shimon have a nedava concept? Bechad sidra. That's a case where money was set aside for a single setting aside of money took place. Rashi at the bottom explains bechad sidra kigon hifrish ma'os l'chatoso, where he set aside money for his chatos, the huzlu hatloyim, and the sheep became less expensive. Vinisvasru minamos, and he had leftover money. But there's a case where he had set aside one sum of money. That's chad sidra. So maybe under those circumstances, and only those circumstances, would Rabbi Shimon have said that, well, if you have change left over, then you buy nedava. Avol betray sidri lo. But a case of two piles, like Rabbi Ami focused on, maybe there, where you choose one and not the other, you're in effect pushing away the other. You're choosing one and thereby rejecting the other. Maybe that rejection would warrant the monies being sent to their destruction. Chomash Malon, therefore I need Rabbi Ami to tell me that even in that case where there is a seeming rejection of the second pile of money, nevertheless, it doesn't warrant its being sent to the Yam HaMelech. It doesn't warrant its destruction. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.